It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. Dustin Hawkins and Greg Pickle here, back from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We are resuming our conversation about spring football, coming off of the opening of spring practice last week. A few comments from James Franklin. We also heard, Greg, from Joe Lorig, special teams coordinator. And I'm curious, from those remarks and from what you know about him and from what James Franklin has said, these two go back a long way. And I know they have a lot of respect for each other. And I'm sure that that played a part in Lorig leaving Texas Tech 8 minutes after he got there to come to Penn State.
I don't even know if it was that long.
Yeah, it was not long. He had just touched down, wheels down, wheels up, from Lubbock to State College, from one metropolis to another. What do you think about his career? And what'd you think about his remarks? And then what'd you think about the idea that Penn State's special teams can make a big leap this season?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Dustin. He sure as heck knew how to make it sound like that whatever they're going to do plan-wise is something that is unique to him for the most part, and a big adjustment, if you will, from what they typically do. So, you know, I thought it was interesting a lot of what he had to say, talking about the idea that, you know, they meet individually in terms of, you know, kickers and punters and punt returners and kick returners and coverage this and coverage that. You know, they break things up and get a lot of the coaching staff involved. I thought that was interesting. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I hate to be this, I don't know if blunt about it, but no one really cares how it gets done as long as it gets done. You know, people like to talk about the different type of defensive schemes and offensive schemes and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's almost, it's very similar to being a referee or being an offensive lineman. No one wants to know your name if you're in those positions, because if they do, it means you've probably messed something up. And no one wants to know what your special teams plan is in great detail, as long as you don't mess it up. And that's what Penn State's problem was in 2018, right? They messed up too frequently on special teams. And he pointed out, Joe Lorig did during his first chat with reporters last week, that, you know, he saw kicks missed from the same spot on the field. And obviously kickoffs out of bounds, that just has to end. I mean, that just can't not possibly continue. So they have to fix that. And then they had some issues in the return game. I agree with what he said too, that there's probably more good than bad on that tape. If you actually sat down and watched, he said he watched 40 to 50 hours of tape 2 weeks ago now to catch up on not just all special teams, but all of Penn State's games. So he could get a better feel for them. So, you know, I do think that he has a very good plan in place. But let's be honest, we probably sat here, if you go back and listen, probably sat here last year and talked about the same kind of stuff with Phil Galliano and how he had a plan to fix things too. So I think at this point, you just have to see it to believe it. But I will say that of all James Franklin's special teams coordinators, and this doesn't necessarily matter because Charles Huff, I thought, did a nice job and he didn't really have a deep special teams background. But clearly this Joe Lorig is the most experienced special teams coach James Franklin has on his staff since he's been at Penn State, and you can only assume that'll pay some dividends.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the layperson, probably with this, the same can be said about any staff position in college football, is what makes one better than another. And for special teams coordinator, I think it's absolutely true. It's just one of those positions that you don't want to have to think about, but they had, you know, fans had to think about that last year. And I think what it comes down to, you can do things differently. You can do things more effectively. I don't discount that, but I think with any other coaching position, your ability to connect and relate to the players and relay the urgency of situations, to relay the importance of the technique, that is what separates, you know, an okay coach from a really good coach. And just on the surface, and his experience would suggest that Lorig is one of those guys who can make the connection with kids more than anything. And I think on special teams, that's going to be a big difference. There are different philosophies, and I remember going back, you know, over a decade talking about how you coach special teams, whether you have one person who that's their job, or back in the day, Penn State used to spread those duties around to all their assistants. And the criticism of that technique, that approach, is that you know, you're going to have your defensive line coach coaching some element of special teams too. How is that good for everything, for everybody? And so now you have a dedicated special teams coach, and I think the benefits of that is that obviously you can specialize in doing that. And I thought it was also interesting that James Franklin made some kind of mention to maybe getting some more offensive players on their special teams units.
Yeah.
They've got so much talent, and to think that not all that talent who, you know, they weren't playing a role on offense or defense, that they weren't playing a role in special teams either. I think that's something that they seem committed to stopping that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe defense too, if they're going to have Micah Parsons returning kicks and punts, as we saw during the first day of spring practice. I think that was more of just a ploy than anything serious, but maybe not. We'll see. But I think that it comes back to rotation. So I did one of the things I picked up on from Joe Lurig's chat is that he was talking about, you know, we hear a lot about snap counts. James Franklin brought it up even more so, I think, last year than any other year, and keeping track of that across the board. I think they need to be better with rotation on their special teams. And what I mean by that is I think when they were having issues, they locked in to, you know, the hand 15 guys or so that were really capable of getting the job done 9.5 times out of 10. And they just rode them. The problem is a lot of those guys were asked to see either a significant snap count on their respective unit, or they grew into that role. And of course, Micah Parsons is the one I'm thinking about in that regard. So I think they need to be better about trusting their other guys, finding those guys first, trusting them, and then rotating to make sure they don't tire out anybody. And one good way to do that might be to get some of your higher profile offense players involved. The flip side, though, is that one of those guys goes down covering a kick and you were right. expecting him to be a big part of the offense, you know, it's not going to, you're going to be second guessed, you know, to death, but you're going to be second guessed to death no matter what. So,
yeah. So there's always pros and cons with all that. And I thought it was interesting, you know, last year to burn a red shirt, which they did with Jesse Luceda, to basically only play special teams. I wonder if that's an approach going forward. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking Penn State football, spring storylines to watch out for from James Franklin, from Joe Lurig last week. Also less than a month away from the Blue-White game. So if you weren't able to win the free RV for the game, gopsurv.com still has a great deal for you. Starting at just $350 for a group of four, you can arrive Friday and stay through Sunday on the lot. There's a free 4-9 tailgate club meal included in that price, and a free shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium for the Blue-White game, which is also free. Get the ultimate tailgate experience all weekend long through gopsurv.com. Contact Mark today for more details, 1-800-519-8467, or go to gopsurv.com for more information. I wanted to bring this up, and it's so John McGonigal from the Center Daily Times, who I actually really enjoy his coverage of Penn State, and I think a lot of people feel the same way. I think he does a really good job and can analyze things pretty spot on.
Yep.
Last week did a piece just on the uncertainty at the safety position, which I don't think is unfair at all, but I thought Lamont Wade's reaction to that was pretty funny. Like, he retweeted it with like a laughing emoji, which suggested maybe behind the scenes, things are more certain than we think. Maybe he didn't appreciate being lumped in with the uncertain part of it. Maybe there are some surprises. I just wondered, from your standpoint, is there a possibility that this position is more stable than we're giving it credit for?
Perhaps. I mean, I think the first question you have to figure out and you have to ask and kick around is, so when James Franklin spoke during his media day, his first day of spring practice news conference, you know, he was asked about the safety position. And he listed, you know, Lamont Wade, John Patrician, Tyler Rudolph, and Drew Hartlob at one spot. And then he mentioned Garrett Taylor, Jonathan Sutherland, and a couple other guys at the other spot. So the question really is, are they going to slide Sutherland over? Or are they going to slide Taylor over and make those two their starters and maybe flip Taylor to the other side or not? Or is that really the case and Wade is going to be, you know, they're going to keep things as they are and then Wade will battle with these guys? And if you look, I mean, Rudolph looks like he's filled out for a freshman, but I think Lamont Wade's probably a little bit ahead of him in that regard. So I think that's the first question you have to figure out. I still think there's some numbers concerns there, honestly. I still think we could see maybe another corner slide over. I don't think it'd be a shock. And let's not forget, where's Jaquan Brisker fit in when he gets to campus, too? He's going to be the guy that's easy to forget about until he actually arrives on campus, but he'll be in those conversations to maybe be a starter or at least a contributor as well.
I think what I think James Franklin also kind of added there was that they're going to have these guys listed at free or strong safety. They're going to be listed at their position, but they're going to get the best two on the field. So if that's Jonathan Sutherland, which I think we're kind of in agreement that that's what we think is going to happen. Yeah. But Lamont Wade is there. I know you held John Patrician up as a guy who had not been very healthy really his whole career, which isn't a huge surprise, but. When it comes to the safety position, I think Penn State has had a lot of these types of surprises. So nothing would really shock me. Like if John Patrician had a monster spring and a monster summer and kind of came out of nowhere, at least from the public vantage point, to play a really big role, that shouldn't surprise anybody considering how the safety position's gone over the last few years. They've had these senior surprises. That's what
agreed.
They've done.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, who would have thought that Trey Apke would end up being a starter and then going on to be a fifth-round pick, I believe it was?
Fourth, fifth,
regardless. Yeah. If you had him going on day three of the NFL draft, it was probably in the seventh round. He ends up going much earlier than expected. So, yeah, he was that way. I think Malik Golden was maybe not quite as much that in that conversation, but he was still a guy that, you know, maybe folks weren't relying on to be an every down, very impactful safety, but he was. And then this past year, Nick Scott obviously stepped up and filled a void. So they continue to do that. And it's the one position that I don't want to say they haven't recruited it well, but they haven't recruited it well enough, it doesn't feel like. And they keep cycling through guys back there. They tend to have one surefire thing and then another, you know, a guy or two that, you know, you have expectations for, but you're not quite sure what those expectations should be or if they're fair until the game actually starts. So we're getting a little bit closer, I think, to having more solidified you know, talent at those spots each and every, you know, year.
So another thing just to kind of close the spring stuff is the roster was updated with freshman information, heights, weights, mm-hmm. numbers. Anything jump off the page to you about guys?
Not really. It's so hard to know whether those numbers are accurate or not. I mean, we've gone, you know, James Franklin has even at times questioned the listed roster numbers on his, you know, on the team's website. So it's kind of when the head coach is doing that, it's kind of hard.
Not
to,
a ringing endorsement.
Right. It's kind of hard to know how much authority those carry. But yeah, a couple of things. I was a little bit surprised to see Anthony Wiggin not at 300 pounds, 297. I know we're splitting hairs, but it seemed like they needed to work him down a bit to build him back up. Yeah. So I think that gives Rasheed Walker a bit of a head start going into spring practice. Other than that, no, not really. I mean, there were a couple differences. You know, KJ Hamler lost some weight. I don't know if that's a huge deal, but a couple differences. But at the end of the day, no, except Steven Gonzalez really bulked up.
Wow, that's something right there. A couple freshmen added some weight who are there in January. We're going to keep talking spring football. We're going to continue our storyline series right after this, looking at guards and centers.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey. Played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.